Good morning, everybody. Today I'm going to talk about the story of Martha and Mary that we just heard from Luke's Gospel. And I'm going to call this story the housework incident. And I'm going to find in it a teaching that's familiar and clear, but also more compassionate than appears at first sight. So let's start with the context. There were two sisters in the family, Martha and Mary, and they had a brother, Lazarus. And this was a family that was well known to Jesus. They were his followers, and they lived in Bethany, very close to Jerusalem, so Jesus may have seen them quite often. Apart from the housework incident from Luke's Gospel, which I'll talk about in a minute, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus also appear in John chapter 11. In what I'll call the Lazarus incident, Lazarus dies and Jesus raises him from the dead. And incidentally, Mary appears a third time by herself on this occasion when she was the one who poured the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and dried his feet with her hair. Jesus does seem to have been particularly close to this family. In the story of the raising of Lazarus, we are repeatedly told that Jesus was deeply moved by the grief of the two sisters. And it's this passage from John which tells us that Jesus himself wept for grief over Lazarus. And that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? So when we think about this housework incident, we can imagine it happening in a possibly quite a family atmosphere. Now, it's a very famous incident, is it not? Jesus and no doubt a few of his disciples visit Mary and Martha's place, and Martha disappears into the kitchen to get the dinner ready, while Mary sits listening to Jesus' teaching. And at some point, Martha gets overwhelmed with all the work facing her. She complains to Jesus that Mary should be helping her in the kitchen. "Tell her to come and help me," Martha demands. But Jesus backs Mary's decision to be with him and learn from his teaching rather than help her sister. And he says, "Dear Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And that's all we're told of the housework incident. And the point is, of course, that being with God should come first, even before the dinner. Many New Testament passages reinforce this teaching of Jesus. "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you," says Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Take no thought for tomorrow will take care of itself. The first and greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." That's Matthew again, chapter 22, verse 37. So with all this reinforcement, the teaching of the housework incident sounds a bit strict and stern, but there's a lot of compassion here as well. So let's find this compassionate aspect of our story. When Jesus defends Mary's choice to be with him rather than help her sister, the tone of voice is very, very compassionate. In one translation, it's not "Dear Martha," it's "Martha. Martha, dear Martha, Martha," a very soft tone of voice, if you ask me. And he doesn't criticize Martha for wanting to be hospitable. He acknowledges instead that she has a lot on her plate and she's anxious about it. So I don't think he was so much rebuking Martha as defending Mary and her decision. And Jesus' compassion here comes from knowing how easily we can make a wrong move as well as a right one. He knows how easily we can be distracted by our responsibilities and maybe mistake our priorities. So it wasn't a case of Martha being irremediably and always worldly minded and Mary being consistently and always spiritually minded. Just like us, sometimes they got it right, sometimes they got it wrong. And we can actually see this in the Bible, because when we compare the housework incident with the Lazarus incident later on, we see that the two sisters acted differently on the two occasions. As we just heard, in the housework incident, Mary comes across as the faithful disciple and Martha as the less faithful one, because she's distracted by the demands of hospitality. But in the Lazarus incident, we find that it is Martha who's the faithful disciple, while Mary is actually distracted by her grief. It's Martha who rushes out to find Jesus, while Mary initially stays at home to mourn. And it is Martha, not Mary, who tells Jesus, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." So both sisters, followers of Jesus, and like us, they didn't always make perfect decisions. Now, I imagine that some sermons on the housework incident end up with the preacher telling the congregation, "Be a Mary, not a Martha." In other words, don't be too busy for God. And of course, that's the message, but it maybe is just a little bit too sweeping a condemnation of Martha. If you look at the Lazarus incident by itself, you could come up with the opposite conclusion. You should be a Martha, not a Mary. So after all, what was it? We have to focus on this. What was it that Martha got wrong in this housework incident? She missed an opportunity to be with Jesus and listen to him. And that's the crux of it. So I'm going to say it again. She missed an opportunity to be with Jesus and listen to him. And we all do miss opportunities. No doubt that God wants us to draw close to him as a priority. But at the same time, God doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly use. We're called to be doers as well as worshippers, so there's a balance, is there not? Prayer and seeking the presence of God will help us to find that right balance. So we come really to the punchline, don't we? How do we in practice apply the teaching of this housework incident to our lives? And I'm going to just say two things to conclude. One is that although we obviously can't be physically present with Jesus in the way that Martha could have been, we can be in his presence through prayer. Prayer is our opportunity to be with God, perhaps the best opportunity. So that's one reason why we're having the prayer stations when I finish what I'm saying. And beyond prayer, we can avoid missing an opportunity like Martha did if we accept as many experiences offered in God's name as we can. I'm going to say to you that this parish is rich in opportunities to know God better. I can think back on the many opportunities to know God better that I've had through this parish, and every one of them has been a blessing. That's the first thing. And one other thing I'd like to say is that we should acknowledge that compassion we see from Jesus. We should accept that we, like Martha, get it wrong sometimes, and accept that anxiety can spoil our experience of God's love. Don't beat ourselves up if we are not right all the time, because we know that Jesus is compassionate. I can remember very clearly being in this church years ago and hearing some extraordinary words: "Forgive others, forgive yourself." Now, I knew about the forgive others bit. That's, everyone knows that. But the phrase, forgive yourself, was one I'd never heard before. And it came as a great revelation. And over the years, that instruction, forgive yourself, has acquired a lot of meaning as I've come to understand it and use it. As we saw, Jesus was compassionate with faithful followers like Martha and with us too. Amen. Now, you're invited, if you wish, to use the prayer. Take that opportunity to use the prayer stations which Alison talked about.